You are listening to Around Comics, episode 228, brought to you by InStockTrades.com, Shiguri Death Frenzy, and Netflix. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around basically the world of comics. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by.
Fucking zoo here tonight.
It is crazy. It's like lots of people
half
drop by.
Of the Chicago comic book fucking world is
yes,
here tonight.
It's like a whorehouse at a naval base here tonight.
All the sad, the flotsam and jetsam of the comic book world.
They've washed upon the Around Comics.
Keep an eye on your wallets. That's all I'm going to say.
You know, all the rules are gone tonight, guys.
Who runs Comic Town?
That's it. That's right.
All right.
Keep your hand on your wallet. That's all I'm going to say.
Mike's got those sunburns working for him, too. It's a good look.
Mike's got that kind of, you know, dapper.
Hey, why is he all dressed up?
I like the pork chops. They're looking good.
He does. Burly hipster guy.
Yeah.
I'm Christopher Niesman. Let me get you introduced to everybody. Same panel as last week. Mr. Tom Caters.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
Boy, as it gets closer and closer to tax season, you look more and more like a homeless person.
It's true.
Yeah. It's nice.
I'm going to shave April 16th.
I know you are.
It's like you're in the playoffs, you know, and you got that beard grow. You can't let anything run away from you.
Hey, what are you showing Tom on your computer?
I'm showing him the project I'm working on for the show.
Cornholing Hussies. Nice.
You'll be next. You're my next. Nice. The next one.
Yeah, we shouldn't even mention it.
Doesn't matter.
Sal's got a little.
I don't know that I'll ever get it done.
Sal's
but I'm
got
working
a little
on
animation
it.
Project going, so you may see Around Comics animated.
I'm trying to teach myself how to animate, how to do some basic animation.
Simple animation.
Simple animation, and I'm going to use the show as basically my. You know,
springboard.
Yeah, and so I'm going to do some funny little animated.
We might have the animated Sal Abernathy and the Grant Morrison shit in his pants story.
Yeah, sure. So, there you go. That'll wind up on Cartoon Network real fast. You know.
Well, we have our two Sals this week, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Yes,
my two Sals.
And returning from last week, Mr. Sal Abernathy.
Guys, thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. Glad you can make the trip back from last show.
Yeah, well, you know, I hope I didn't violate you too much last show talking shit, but you know, I'll try to tame it this show. Yeah.
Now, you've downgraded Diet Coke?
No, I have to drive, so I'm trying to pace myself a little bit. No,
we can respect that.
For the trial. So people could say, I saw him drinking a Diet Coke. So, you know,
Chris, some people.
He was doing eight balls.
It's a trick I learned
on
Law and Order. You create reasonable doubt of how drunk I was. You know.
So Tom's going to say some people have
personal responsibility,
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah, some people have restraint.
Who just
I couldn't find
life.
The opener is basically why I went to Diet Coke. You know, and Walt Disney opener is working on his animation.
I figured you didn't want to fucking drink anymore.
I'm
so, you
drinking.
Know.
All right. Well, let me know if you want another beer. We'll take care of you. Do you want to?
Jesus, Chris. He's trying to. God.
I'm an enabler. Remind me if I ever have a drug problem that Chris is not the person to go
to. That's right. Where were you when I was buying cars? You can be fucking car salesman over here.
Drunk wants to drink alone, man. I mean, that's.
Yeah. Hey, listen. You're driving. Well, just let me know if you want another beer.
Would you like some uppers? Would you like some?
Yeah. Let's spark one up. All right. This episode not sponsored by Samuel Adams, but is sponsored by InStockTrades.com. And they offer a huge selection of the collected editions that you need. InStock Trades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essential showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices.
Omnibuy.
And remember that all orders over $50 do in fact ship for free. And as we've mentioned the last couple episodes, Tom's pick for our book club is The Adventures of Luther Arkwright. And it is now available at InStock Trades for an amazing 45% off my the cover price.
Next.
Shit.
Yeah. $10.42. You cannot beat that. Wow. So check that in stock. And you can buy Atomica, the first trade.
I'm picking something simple.
You can actually, but they picked up a lot from me at the show earlier in the fall.
Yeah.
Good guys.
Yeah, Cam is a good guy. Yeah. So do you have your next?
I don't know yet. I'm thinking I want to do something a little lighter than the last couple. Maybe not 600 pages.
I picked a 600-page archive edition for mine.
Maybe not the existential, Brian Talbot craziness.
What?
I was thinking something a little simpler. I don't know exactly yet what it's going to be. It may be like, I don't know. We'll see.
Something
a little lighter. A little
superhero
fair. Just like a trade. Just like six issues.
War and Peace or something like that.
Maybe. I don't know yet. I was thinking originally the Swamp Thing Volume 1 that came out, but I don't know if I want to.
I just bought the 6-volume set of Backdoor Bonanza, which was nice, but that was on DVD. I don't know if InStock Trade carries that, but it's nice. You got to watch them in succession because there's different countries.
There's a continuity.
Yeah, and skanks in Scandinavia pretty much are like American skanks, just less tats and piercings, but I'm sorry. I digress.
If you enter halfway through the story, you'll never know.
It ends the same way. You basically wind up.
Always ends the same way.
Pizza guy.
Some have asses like train whistles, and others are a little like a balloon knot, but they all kind of come together at the end.
Oh, and
sorry, Sal. I'm serious. What was the 600-page thing that you recommended?
That was the
Bible.
No. It was true story. Swear to God. The archives of that, which was
okay.
It's Tom B. Land.
9,000 pages.
It's a really nice.
I didn't read it.
Romantic slice of life. It's a slice of life autobiographical stuff.
Not teen angst.
No, I didn't get laid. No. 35-year-old angst.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't get laid.
Meets a hot broad from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rican, and he was
in Napa Valley. And it's about him falling in love with this gal and him wrestling with the fact that he's found this perfect woman, and she lives in Puerto Rico, so he's and dealing with the long distance relationship. No,
very hard. That's like come on.
No.
It's looking for lemonade on the moon. Yeah, it's not going to happen. So
wait, so you had mentioned the Alan Moore Swamp Thing. You're right.
Awesome, can't recommend it enough.
I had mentioned to him how much I'm reading the Starman Omnibus now, and I'm like, man, those are really big meaty books, and I wish that the Swamp Thing was that, and it's darn close. You're right.
I was gonna say I didn't think it was that much smaller than the Starman.
It's actually a really good sized hardcover. So you were right, I was wrong.
Oh well, I appreciate that.
Mark down the fucking date. So
yeah, well, we could do that every
you guys
day,
gonna,
Chris.
You guys gonna hit each other with your purses or what? What are you doing? Come on.
We're married.
I appreciate you admitting
that's
you're
good stuff. With the popularity of Watchmen now, you know that everything that Alan did, they're gonna start.
Yeah.
You know,
that was my
Swamp Thing is not just one of those DC piggybacking on to say, hey, let's push. Let's force, Alan Moore stuff on. That's a great run.
People probably wouldn't be a Vertigo Comics without Alan Moore Swamp Thing. I mean, that really started Vertigo.
And people forget the first 13, 14 issues that, they did before the Alan
Wrightson.
The Bernie Wrightson stuff is legendary. Yeah. I mean, I can't recommend that run enough. And it's only, like a 13-issue run that he did before he left. But
yeah, I think it went 19, and then Alan Moore did the 20th, which was like the reset. Yeah. And then right. his starts.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
And he did like 40 issues.
Just the issue with Batman alone, with Bernie Wrightson doing it, is worth the series. I mean, it's just great art.
Didn't he do maybe something for like 40
years? Yeah. I'm thinking of the that's Alan one of those Moore ones.
They just re-released
that. You're only going to get one Bernie Wrightson. Well, Frankenstein was tremendous too, but for me, the introduction to me for Bernie Wrightson was the Swamp Thing stuff.
You know, he just did a series for IDW called Dead She Said, and really good Wrightson artwork. Yeah, he's back doing some really nice stuff. Yeah. So Bernie Wrightson,
he had some carpal tunnel problem, I think, for a while.
Yeah, I think he took some time off. And
lost his ass in a divorce, too, that guy.
Ugh.
No, no, I remember. No, I mean, I don't mean it in a good way. I mean, he was a really eccentric, just, you know, profoundly prolific guy at the time. His popularity was his, coming off of Swamp Thing. He was no bigger. And he was one of those artists that didn't really like to part with his artwork. He retained
kept it all
his artwork. Yeah.
Good for him.
And, hey, one year at San Diego, there was all
he was parting with artwork.
Everything
and,
you could
no,
say.
No, no, no. It was out there, and it was, you know, it was a divorce type thing, and, you know. It's time to pull the cool rock job. Yellow ribbon instead of a swastika. Nothing proper about your propaganda. Who's for the wounds when the set commands you? Send it with blue when your blood was red. That's how you got a bullet blast through your head.
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Netflix. Right now you can start a free 2-week trial by going to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics. At Netflix, you'll find over 100,000 titles to choose from, including classics and new releases, as well as TV series. Plans start from as low as $4.99 per month, and you can keep each movie as long as you want with no wait fees ever. Netflix has free shipping both ways, and you can expect your next selection to be delivered in about one business day. Now watch some movies and TV series over the internet for no extra charge. I use this service with my Xbox 360 and personal laptop and love it. So head over to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics and get started with your free trial today.
We got a loud crowd in here.
Yeah,
it's like being at a convention.
Like it's getting like a tractor pull in here.
There's people have teeth.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
party going on in the back.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's fun. I like it when it's like this on Fridays.
You guys,
just don't touch my ass if there's an orgy. That's all I'm saying.
Read anything lately that's been good? Anything come out?
I only have bad things to say.
Tom's angry. Is that fair, though? You know, you're obviously under a lot of pressure. It's tax time, and
I shouldn't say bad. I should say
critical. Critical.
I looked with a very critical eye upon critical a few eye. Things recently.
All right.
Why do you get the time? Whatever spare time you have, like, you should sleep.
when I go to bed, I like to read like two comics and then fall asleep. And that's the one, and I'm planning a wedding at the same time that I'm doing this. So.
Just explode.
Whose wedding is it? Wedding?
It's my own wedding.
Oh, man. No wonder. Yeah. Forget about the tax bullshit. Just the wedding planning alone is stressful enough. That's like, man.
I'm having.
You're just hemorrhaging.
I'm having
you're
a lot
bleeding
of
out of every orifice. Yeah.
I couldn't say the word.
I was telling Sal, though. The good money. Thing with the wedding planning, though, is that when you're giving people money, everyone's more than willing to return your phone calls and be very timely.
Oh, yeah.
When you're the tax guy,
nobody wants to fucking talk to you.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I had read 2 weeks ago, not this past week, but the week before, that had caused me to get really angry after work was I'd read Invincible number 60.
You've been like hand-wringing, sackcloth, pouring ash on your head, upset about this book.
I'm okay. No, I'm okay.
It hasn't been that bad.
I tweeted once that I thought it was terrible, and then I posted once. Chris, I don't live in your world where we hold on to things.
Where we, like, believe, like we believe in Bigfoots. We drink too much.
Yeah. With the hyperbole.
I have a problem with it. Everything is the best or the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And, so no in between for him.
Yeah.
If you haven't read Invincible passionate. 60, it was Kirkman, Otley, trying to fit an entire summer event into one issue. And I think it didn't quite go so well. In fact, I thought it was sort of all the terrible things about events with none of the good stuff about events all jammed into one story. And I paid $3.99 for it.
Yeah. So, well, and the thing is, that's a book that's usually consistently pretty good. So
ten issues, it's become the point where Invincible, where it started off, and this is my whole problem with the last issue, is that it's like the book has become about expediency. The book has become about let's get to the next thing as fast as we can, if that means like jamming everything into one issue. Where when the book was really good, what was really great about it was that he could take his time and expand tell stories and expand stories.
Is that on a monthly schedule, or how does it come out?
Well, it was from Image, so it came out.
Is it still through Image? Or?
Yeah, it came out like nine times a year.
Robert Kirkman.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was okay. I mean, I didn't sweat it that it didn't come out 12 times a year, because the nine issues were really good. And that, you know, to me, that's perfectly fine. If I get nine really good issues of a book, don't be like, oh, I'm going to do it every
more
month
often,
and then give me three shitty stories that I'm going
to
buy. You know, like if you're putting out nine a year, I'm okay with that. It's not terrible. But like to me, the book has slowly become actually about the gimmicks that I think it was trying to subvert at the beginning. Like what we've seen since 50, we've seen a costume change. We've seen an issue where he's out on a date.
Yeah.
We've seen the issue that's all from the point of view of the villain. You know, we've seen
his little brother,
the summer event. We've seen the sidekick. And it's slowly the book, I think, has drifted away from the stuff that actually made it really worthwhile. It made he took characters and slowly built them up over time. And in this big summer event book, he just kind of tosses aside some of the characters. And I think that's a pretty big deal when you are a creator who's in complete control of something and you've taken all this time to make something. It takes a lot of effort to get me to care about that, you know, just from my own point of view, to make me care about your creation. You should be a little bit more careful about tossing that aside.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
well, you
it's
know,
hard
especially
to,
if
to get
it,
it
yeah,
back.
If he's, you know, creating setting it up in a way where he's the pacing of it with story development and characters. But I don't know. Sometimes you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Maybe they're winding it up. Maybe there's also like what happened with Eric Powell. Sometimes they start taking projects on the side or gigs.
Like 6 months was about, you know, six, 8 months ago. Kirkman became a full partner at Image.
Oh, okay.
So
I mean, I just think it's the, and it's funny. I was talking to Sal about this. So right after I read that issue of Invincible, and I was kind of like, to me, it was really the worst written one I've read so far, because it was just every cliche about comics with none of the heart and none of the emotion in it. It was every single thing
you know,
that
it also,
it's the opposite of what made the
what
book.
What number are they at? Where are they
660.
At? Well, sometimes, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but sometimes, you know, money can change things. If he's doing more now, if his plate is more full than it was when he was a fledgling artist putting the book out, that change. I mean, artists kind of, you know.
Well, it's just interesting how like Tom was saying, the book has become.
I'm just guessing. I don't know.
No,
what happened to the guy. I'm just saying.
It when that book first came out, it was sort of an interesting combination of all the sort of fun parts of what we remember as comics, superhero comics when we were kids, but at the same time, sort of, like you said, subverting some of that stuff and looking at it a little deeper and building up the characters and really, you know, expanding on the world and that kind of thing.
Same writer? Same?
Same guy, team.
Now, how is it production values? Does it look
very good?
Art's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah,
so they're not
Ryan
mailing
Otley.
It in.
Yeah, no, Ryan Otley,
okay.
Who's
I think it's
fantastic.
I'm just saying, sometimes that as the book progresses, sometimes you know, as it's been successful, they get, you might be getting it pulled in different directions now. Yeah. Might play, well, I mean, you know, it might be, you know.
It's yeah, all, I'm it's sure a, he's it's busy. All, it's also, doing, it's, you know. It's also at 60 issues, which now you're into the point where it's not new. And sometimes there are comics out there that are good for a good 60-issue yeah. run.
Sure.
And it's like, you know.
Well, is it shit because, I mean, don't I mean, say shit, but do you not like it because you just don't like it or because you just think it's lazy?
Well,
or
I
it's,
think it's.
Because it could just be, you know, you don't like is, it. You
I,
know.
I was talking to Sal about this outside earlier. Right after I read it, I was watching Battlestar Galactica and I was listening to the commentary.
The old one
or
the new one?
The new one. Okay. And they were talking about. There was something
no,
where
no,
the guy.
Hot women in the new one.
The guy, the director said something that was exactly what I thought about Invincible. Was like, when you have a plan and you're making something, sometimes you are too fast to get to the end point.
Yeah, yeah.
You want it. He knows what he wants, and then he's like, oh, let's get to it as quick as you can. But that's not fun for the audience to get there as quick as you can. You have to take your time. And when you've set up characters, you can't just sort of kill them and toss, you know, be like, oh, there you go, and then
frivolously just toss it aside, and because there's no payoff there. There's no
yeah.
If you just rush through to the end point of something, the climax of something, there's just no.
It's become sort of all this stuff. Like when I saw that he was gonna do an event in one issue, I was like, oh, it'll be kind of cool. But it actually ended up just being all the bad stuff about events and none of the good stuff. And it was weird. It, very well drawn. The art was, of course, beautiful. Because Otley's art is great.
Yeah.
But it just was really hollow, and it made me walk away from the issue just kind of like, I don't know if I care about any of the characters anymore. I don't know what.
I kind of felt that way with another Image book, Savage Dragon. When I read that when it first came out, and it seemed like it was sort of the same thing. It was like, take the sort of conventions of the superhero books and stuff and kind of play with them a little bit, but give it a little more weight, but still have a lot of fun with it. And then it seemed like Savage Dragon kind of became the same thing. Now, I haven't read Savage Dragon in years, so I have no idea what it is like now, but I'm just saying, at the time, after about 50 or 60 issues of reading that book, it seemed like it was sort of the same thing happened to it, where it became all the things that it was sort of making fun of initially. Because I thought that's what that book kind of did initially, is it sort of made fun of a little bit about just, you know, superhero comics and that kind of thing. But at the same time, not in a sort of, not in a whiny way, just in a fun way. Deprecating. Yeah, deprecating. I mean, in some ways. But at the same time, you know, it was fun and cool. But after time, it sort of just became the thing that it was sort of initially
was making
fun of.
It's also a little bit, I think, sometimes with the issue of Invincible. The idea behind it was awesome, and you have to edit yourself to, if you have an awesome idea, you should play it out to the fullest potential that it has to tell the best story you can, not rush on to the next great idea that you have. And I thought the idea behind it was really good, and if it's, you know, it's okay to take your time to tell a story that's good, you know, that don't, you know, it's don't more than like just the idea. It's, you know,
packing.
I like
into
the
it.
Book. I've been reading the book. You don't need to pitch the book to me. You just need to keep telling me the story that.
Well,
that's
one of the things I find with a lot of Image books, is that they are constantly getting into this repitching of it because they're constantly trying to draw new readers in, and that's hard whenever you are an established.
Well, the
fan
problem
of the book.
Too, the problem too with some books are just clearly meant, or would be more effective if they just told the story and then moved on. You know, Hellboy is like that. Hellboy is one of those books that, you know, on the ground floor when I started buying it, I loved it, but it just reached a point where it's like, you know, that's it. It just, I've got all the trades, and I can't tell you the difference of one trade to another, because it's some stories, it's like, okay, we told that story. There's just really not a lot.
Some stories
see.
Just aren't meant to go
They're
on
meant
for
to go.
100 or 150
that's it.
Issues.
That's right. But people ask me about a time ago, how long is it going to go? I'm like, I don't know. I saw it as originally a 15 issue kind of thing. It would run out and then just move on, you know, to something else, because, you know, it's just, there's only so much I wanted to do with the character. And it's some books, you leave them wanting more. It's enough. It's, you keep it lean and mean and you move along, you know. And sometimes you could just say, hey, you know what, maybe we should kill this.
Well, also the thing with Kirkman,
we should move on to a different project.
He's the writer of that. I mean, like, I can't imagine.
Is the artist the writer, or is it different?
It's different, but it's the same guy that's been writing it, and the same artist since, like,
and the writer's the guy they made a partner or whatever.
Yeah.
Does he write other stuff? Or just
Walking Dead, Invincible. But
he's used to do Marvel stuff.
He does Image's big books, basically. Yeah. They're best-selling books at Image. Yeah. So.
But I just think the expediency thing has become really apparent in I wish he would slow down a little bit and tell the story. And take his time, because the stories are worth telling. There's good stuff in there. You know, you don't have to run through it so quick. But it's more disappointment. I'm not angry at him. I'm just disappointed. I feel like a dad. I'm just really disappointed.
Robert, we need to talk.
Yeah, Robert, yes. I'm not angry. I'm disappointed.
Sit down, you know.
Well, I had something I wanted to bring up. I thought I read this week that I just absolutely loved, which is from a couple of guys that you've talked about before on the show, Fred Van Lente and Ryan Dunleavy, who the guys who did Action Philosophers, but their series that they're doing right now, Comic Book Comics, which is basically the illustrated history of comic books from, you know, the very beginning, before comic books, comic strips, and it's 3 issues out so far. I think it's just a 4-issue series.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
3 issues out so far, and I've read all 3, and just fantastic. If you are interested in learning anything like the history of comics, if you want an easy way to sort of sit down and read a very good, very informative, very fun history of comics, I could not recommend those books more. They are
single issues, or are they
single issues? Yeah. It's going to be 4 single issues. I'm sure it'll come out in trade later, but but it's just Fred Van Lente has amazing ability to sort of
edutain.
Yes, he can educate you and entertain you at the same time.
Are you familiar with the philosopher Action Philosophers?
Mm-mm.
What it is, if you want to know the basics of philosophy and the cornerstone philosophers through history, it is basically a comic book about
it's
philosophy.
Small press, or is it?
Yeah, it's from Evil Twin Comics in Minneapolis, I believe.
Okay.
The best part of it is that it's funny, it's informative, and it isn't like an overload, and the art is like a cartoony type style. Very expressive, but extremely entertaining, and very like the comic book comics. Was it number 3 that you just read?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I read the Scott McCloud one, The Understanding Comics.
This is much
similar.
I think,
or no?
It's educational. I think it's much more entertaining as where.
Well, you know,
I think it's a little bit more
Fred
jokey.
It's a little more jokey, but at the same time, it gives you all the sort of beats, you know, all the things you need to know, what he does really well, and if you ever need another career, you should be a history teacher, is that he is able to give you sort of the moment in time and like explain to you like how events related to one another, so that you have a more comprehensive understanding of what was going on and how this affected this and how that. But at the same time, he does it really entertaining. It's really fun to read.
Sure.
Explaining why, and we were talking about this earlier this week, talking about why the comic strip kind of evolved, is because the guy that kind of made the first comic strip wanted higher placement on the newspaper, so he wanted it horizontally oriented so he could be towards the masthead.
And he was the guy who created Mutt and Jeff, but he was like a track. He was a sports reporter, and he wanted
horse racing.
Yeah, horse racing, and he saw the Yellow Kid was the first comic strip that really hit it, and he's like, hey, I could maybe get a better byline if I did a comic strip on horse racing, and he created Mutt, and then it became Mutt and Jeff. But yeah, I was fascinated by it. I mean, I could not get enough of it. I can't wait for the next issue to come out. I thought it was just so much fun to read, and as much as I've, you know, sort of studied the history of comics, there was tons of stuff in there that I didn't know about or didn't quite understand in the way. There was anything that could have given me a better appreciation for Winsor McCay, which is a guy that I just like really never had any interest in, and now I'm just like, oh my god, he was the Da Vinci of comic books, you know, and just like
basically he invented animation.
He pretty much invented animation and was a brilliant artist. And
my favorite part of it was the whole thing about how Walt Disney was saved by World War II. Without doing all the film,
how you
subsidized
got
by the government,
yep.
never would have
how you
gone
got
under.
VD and all that, you know, did all those VD movies.
He, uh, the whole thing between him and Max Fleischer Studios, and how they sort of had that war back and forth, and then and the fact that, you know, Disney wasn't making any money because he was putting all his money back into the movies and the shorts that he was doing, and like teaching, he was bringing in artists to teach his animators how to draw and stuff, and just
Pinocchio was a flop.
I think in one of those movies he did invent the phrase "love you long time" too, didn't he?
I think that was in Steamboat Willie.
Was it Steamboat Willie? No, I think it was Cut and Fuck.
Was that a Disney?
That was a Disney.
That was Sydney Disney though. That wasn't that Walt. That was Sydney Disney.
He invented Three Fingered Magilla, but they wouldn't let him use it because Warner Brothers already had it.
The lesser known but much more successful Sydney Disney.
But I like I said, if you have any interest in sort of learning the history of comic books, if you want, I couldn't imagine an easier way to sit down and
they got it
and
here.
No, he had it. They sold out of it. I mean, it's a small. I think they're out of Brooklyn though. Actually, not Minnesota.
They're in New York.
I was reading. They had gotten a grant.
That's good.
Is how they're doing all the Evil Twin was all built on a grant for from a library or something like that.
Action Philosophers is great. It's a lot of fun. And I tell you,
And another thing, I want just one more thing about Fred Van Lente, because I'm starting to fall in love with Fred Van Lente as a writer. And there was a hilarious thing that I just thought was absolutely brilliant. He did in the latest issue of Hercules. Where he's talking that Hercules and the kid, the boy, the genius boy, and Athena all are meeting with like Hera,
Amadeus Cho.
They're all meeting with like Hera and a Titan in a Greek diner, and it's like sacred. And that was the thing he kind of wrote into is like Greek diners are sacred ground for the Greek.
for the
and I was just like, oh my god, that's brilliant! So genius. Who doesn't love a Greek diner?
God bless him. There's all good coffee shops that aren't Greek.
And I was like, that is so.
Koreans can't do coffee shops like the Greeks.
So it's like sacred ground. You cannot fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you are a part of Greek mythology, you can come and meet in a Greek diner, but you can't
buy anything. You got to get the fuck out too.
Get the Euro.
God or no God? Yes. Get the fuck out.
I just thought that was hilarious and absolutely genius.
Fred's a guy. I mean, he wrote some great stuff for Wolverine First Class, which has been kind of a sleeper hit for me. I'm sure there any other Wolverine fan reads it, but for me, who was burnt out on the character, it was great to go back and Van Lennie did a great run on that. He's doing a fantastic job on Hercules, so it's nice to see a guy whose roots are in Action Philosophers and doing comic book comics to be able to really have some nice mainstream success and Marvel for realizing the talent that was there and putting him on the right books.
Yeah, he's great. He's great writer. I'm a big fan of his now. So.
Great action, but knows how to write fun comics.
I just want him to do more history stuff.
Fuck Wolverine, man.
Yeah, exactly. Just do more history.
He's a Canadian. Fuck Wolverine.
Just do history books. Silence. Something about silence makes me sick. Cause silence can't be violent, sort of like a slit wrist. The vibe was suicide. Then you would push the button. What if you're bowing down? Then let me do the cutting. Some speak the sounds, but speak in silent voices. Like radio is silent, though it fills the air with noises. Translations bring submission. You want to be unreal. Then that boy grips the microphone. A fist full of steel. Yeah. And Mad Boy grips the microphone with a fist full of steel. With a fist full of steel.
I've had two people since the break in between shows here that said, going to Mexico, y'all right? I had Jose in here ask me if I had any military training.
Hey, man, it's crazy over there
I know you're going
to Acapulco or whatever, but that don't mean that shit came. Yeah, they all ran out of Juarez. They're looking for a place to, you know.
I'll come to Acapulco.
They're looking for new mules. Yeah, so
we're in Atlanta.
Looking for
the dumb white boy.
Sue, you better be careful, man.
I will be aware of my surroundings.
You're gonna get fucking shanked. That's why this gang rape.
No, Jose.
That's what I told him.
No, seriously, Jose kind of scared me. He's like, I just hope you don't wake up in like a bathtub filled with ice water with a card that says "Go to a hospital now."
Trust me, you won't wake up, man.
They got good food though.
They're gonna strip you bare, dude.
Nothing
left.
You gonna bring your miso honey shirt or no?
No, my wife might though.
Oh, okay. Well,
you gonna bring your hypercolor t-shirt?
Just stay in the, stay in the. Are you going to like one of those little?
I'm going to Twitter about my kidnapping.
You're gonna
Twitter.
You're not gonna say you're not in one of those little Club Med communities. Volleyball and all that shit. Banana hammock volleyball. Where you got the fucking sack hanging out.
A condo resort kind of.
Stay on the resort.
Hopefully, as this airs, I'm not dead.
You could be dead by now. This could be your last show.
This could be my last show.
Probably does the plane land in the resort?
Listen, all I know is if something happens, I'm not playing fucking Man on Fire where I gotta go exchange you at the bridge.
That's a great movie.
I don't know why he would go get that little kid anyway. I'd say keep her.
Have you heard about all the Mexican airport snipers?
God, thanks, Tom.
What about the taxi driver bombers
apparently the people I'm going down there with already know the taxi driver, so connections have been made. Uh-huh. I'm not going into this blind. We're going with people whose parents live there.
Come on down to Mexico, Chris. It's only $40 a night to stay.
You might have to
bring something back with you if you don't mind. How many kilos do you think you can fit up your ass?
And they got those fucking, it's like Florida. They got those evil insects fucking cockroaches.
Big ones, man.
That are like they're like the size of a penny loafer. You lift up a towel and there's those fucking, they're disgusting. Nasty water bugs.
Yeah, it's insane down there. Can you imagine Chris on the plane? Chris, who already doesn't like flying.
No shit.
We're talking about how he's going to get shot by sniper cockroaches.
Watch those cockroaches. You leave like a sock or something on the floor. You pick the fucking thing up. I mean,
put your foot in it. There'll be one inside.
Prehistoric, man. It's nasty.
You'll be all right. Have fun.
Whatever you drink is like in a bottle or everything. Because I'm telling you,
you'll be
shitting tacks. There's nothing worse than getting the shits. I'm telling you.
Don't make eye contact with strange toilets.
I got so sick one time in Mexico, I couldn't even get my clothes off fast enough to shit. I had to sit on the toilet naked. Is how fucked up I was, because it just wouldn't clear the ass fast enough. Is how fast it'll come out of you if you get food poisoning.
Have fun in Mexico, though.
Yeah, it happens.
Enjoy yourself.
I'm not kidding. You wind up sleeping in the bathroom. So just drink everything out of a bottle, or even don't eat salads because they wash the lettuce with that fucked up water and everything.
You'll be all right.
No, because
you'll be fine.
I'm going to take like canned tuna with me.
I'm just saying. It's not bullshit.
It's like a fucking jungle. It's like a third world country.
You
got to
worry about the water.
It's insane.
Just worry about the water.
All right.
Yeah. You'll be fine.
All right.
If
you run into any Nazis down there, take pictures with them and turn them in when you get back.
It's like boys from Brazil.
They're looking for Gregory Peck still down there. Have you seen him?
Do you got a knife?
Wasn't Acapulco? Wasn't that where that college student went missing? That was Acapulco.
Multiple.
She went to Cozumel. Yeah. It was Aruba.
Was it Aruba?
There's like four people in Aruba.
That's the one you hear about. They never talk about the ugly chicks that disappear.
Yeah. just the good looking blonde.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So, Chris, what book are
you? Yeah. What are you reading?
Let me grab it here.
Because this could be your last comic you ever talk about.
See if you can find that guy on the Aztec calendars I see in the grocery store. You know, the guy with the bird wings and he's holding the naked chick. Because the Mexicans in my neighborhood don't look like that fucking Aztec god. I'm telling you.
I drink enough of the water down there. I might see that.
Chris's last top of the step.
Make it a good one, buddy.
Thunderbolts 130.
I'm sorry. I'll be serious.
Thunderbolts continues to be a book that I really didn't expect to like, and I look forward to it every month now. Andy Diggle is writing a really, really fun and entertaining book. And this is
Is that Gabrielle on the cover? Who's the cover by?
Oh, who is the cover? Here, take a look for me. This is the second part of a four-part crossover, which I didn't know the first part took place in Deadpool number 8, and so I had to go and pick up Deadpool before I read it.
Gotcha.
They did get, dude. But they got me in a good way because it was very entertaining. And Deadpool, character I've never really cared about, is just a lot of fun to read. It's the different Deadpools, because you're reading so many different split personalities.
Although I have to say, the Andy Diggle Deadpool in this was
not as funny as the Daniel Way.
No,
but you know, the Thunderbolts is a little bit more serious.
Yeah,
book.
It's a different.
It's more of an espionage book, and it has a little bit of the Deadpool humor. But Daniel Way has such a good grasp.
He's locked in.
Yeah, it's
and Paco Medina art on there. It's perfect.
Fucking lunatic that Deadpool is, and
that's what I love about it. He's, I mean, there's no pretension of Deadpool is just insane.
Yeah,
he's the only like sensible stuff that Deadpool does is when one of his voices tells him to do something sensible.
And it's really, it's almost like Two-Face and flipping the coin whether he's going to do something completely off the rails or anything.
He's fun because he's crazy.
Exactly. And speaking of Andy Diggle, this news is a couple weeks old now, but he's going to be taking over Daredevil.
Yes, he is, after Ed Brubaker finishes up his Return of the King, it looks like.
I think Andy Diggle is another one of the long line of writers that kind of came up writing Hellblazer for Vertigo. That is really.
Did he come out? I mean, he's doing that now. He just finished a.
No,
he had written Hellblazer before.
I think he'd written it before, and I may be wrong.
Did he do that before The Losers? I don't remember.
I need to find a longtime Hellblazer fan, but I know he's got connections to that book, and I think it's before this last
latest
run.
One is good.
But yeah, you know, we've talked about his work on Losers before, and Hellblazer, and now Thunderbolts, and I really haven't read a bad Andy Diggle book. He's done pretty good. I'm sorry, Sal. He's British.
Okay.
Fucker.
No.
But he writes good comics.
I'm not saying anything.
Why do you hate America, Chris?
I'm going to leave it alone because I know people are going to hate me, but hey, that's how I feel, you know.
What do I know? How about you, good sir? You've been reading anything of late?
A little bit. I've been working a lot. I've been back on it's that time of the year when I try to just, you know, buckle up and work nights. I'm working, you know, crazy hours and getting ready to do a couple of cons, but not much. I reread Watchmen because I hadn't read it in a long time, and I just wanted to kind of, you know, go over it again just to kind of
see the movie.
How much I haven't seen the movie. I haven't had time. I just been working, and you know, I got a little kid and all that, and so it's been. But Chicago in the wintertime, it's a good time to get your work done because it's
nothing else to do.
So depressing.
Can't go outside.
Yeah, it's like.
Apparently you can't go to Mexico either.
You can go to Mexico. You just got to watch out for cheap whores and you know,
guns and corn water.
Corn-holing hussies.
Don't touch anything. Don't fucking look anybody in the eye.
I didn't say that. I just said, hey, you got to...
But have a good time.
Yeah, watch out. You know, just don't pop any blisters and be careful is all I'm saying.
Stay out of the sun.
We want you to have a good time.
You got like SPF 900, right? Because you are white, and that sun is hot down there, man.
Yep.
You are gonna.
Yes,
you don't,
that's you got to watch out.
Do not play around. I'm not even joking.
That's why the Aztec, all those cities are empty. They said fuck this, and they left. It's too hot. They said we're getting the fuck out of here, man.
They moved to 18th Street.
They went up over by Humboldt Park here, by my house. They said we've had enough.
Screw that. No, I do. I've got like the zinc oxide. I'm gonna be
nice.
Like blue.
Yeah,
I'm an old quite Doc Manhattan.
You gotta wear one of a little, and it's so odd. I used to just bring like your own refrigeration unit.
Well, you're going outside
on the beach.
Snipers on the beach.
Snipers. Mexican beach snipers.
Be careful.
Actually, okay.
Honest to God, I have a deathly serious fear of sharks. I do not like to swim in the ocean.
It looks like being scared of
nuclear weapons.
I don't care.
UFOs, you know.
Yeah, of course you're scared of sharks.
You should be scared of sharks.
Don't
They're
worry
fucking
about
killing
it.
Machines.
It will be me. I will be the guy that the great white is like.
No,
oh, yeah,
down in Mexico?
Not down in Mexico.
Not down in Mexico.
Yeah,
no, no.
You know what you need to worry about is bull sharks.
Tiger sharks.
No.
Great
sharks down in Mexico, they pull them out of the water and make them landscape. They don't stay down and bite you on the ass that much. I wouldn't worry about it.
There's no great whites down there.
No.
You know,
no.
It's too hot.
Seriously, you got to worry more about that fucking water and getting food poisoning
and the beach
than you got to worry about. And the Puerto Rican beach snipers. Yeah. then you got to worry about. You know.
It's hot as shit.
Man, it is
All right. Not this time of year, but
your only chance. Your only chance is a bullet melts before it gets you.
It's the heat. Like the fucking surface of the sun when you go down.
Hey, I've heard 88 so sunny. Much. 88 and sunny is what I've heard. So, but the sun is closer.
Oh, sure, that's what they tell you.
But the sun is closer.
Do you
that's a night.
Do you think that do you think that the sunscreen he's going to wear is going to help with the night vision goggles on the sleepers? Or are they just going to
he's
going
to glow like a fucking
he's got to wear a muumuu.
I just want to thank you guys because I'm enjoying this so much. I've heard nothing.
You're going 4 days, 3 days. How long are you going on?
I'm probably just going to go to the airport and camp out there at this point.
Yeah. Just, I ain't going just out close there. Close your eyes and go to Chicago Avenue and Western over here. It's Mexico.
What airline are you?
I don't know who the fuck is in Mexico. It must be an empty country because they're all here. I'm telling you, they're all in Chicago. All of them.
We're flying on United.
Oh wait, hold on. I'm not kidding. For 2 weeks straight, every goddamn day, and I haven't said shit to him about it until now, but every day he would find a way to bring up the fact.
I've laid off on
I got
it.
I got to pack tomorrow. I got to pack Thursday.
But you got to do it. You really want to piss people off. I know you're going to Mexico. You got to go in January or February. Yeah. That's when you just, I wouldn't even talk to you if I knew you were going to Mexico in those 2 months. You know, March, April-ish,
I told
right,
Chris, the bane of our relationship is the fact that he has the bad habit of wanting everyone else to enjoy the things that he does in his life.
Yeah.
And I have the bad habit of wanting everyone else to be as fucking miserable as I am. It just doesn't work.
I agree. We're good for
each other because he helps me control that and I give him joy.
Not true at all. I don't think it's a one-sided.
I don't think anyone wants to hear about that. Hey, don't miss out on what you're passing. You're missing the Huda of the funky Buddha, a looter of the fucked up styles to get wicked. So come on as I start to kick it, cause we're like the outlaw spying. Suckers are hiding, jump behind the bush when they see me driving by. Hanging out my window and my magnum taking out some putos. It's the kind of loco, I'm just another local kid from the street getting paid for my vocals. Here is something you can't understand, how I could just kill a man. Kill a man, there is something you can't understand. How I could just kill a man, there is something you can't understand. How I could just kill a man, there is something you can't understand.
The crowd howls for blood as two damaged warriors sacrifice flesh and bone in a perverse test of wills in Shiguri Death Frenzy. Two legendary samurai share a long and violent past. Bitter rivals from the moment they locked eyes, these warriors inflicted wounds on each other that would have destroyed lesser men. As the final chapter of their saga unfolds, they must summon the strength for one last battle. A battle only one shall survive. Take home the Blu-ray and DVD on March 31st. Shiguri Death Frenzy, the beauty is in the kill. Visit Funimation.com/Shiguri for more details.
I wanted to ask a favor of our listeners.
Oh, no.
Order Atomica?
This isn't for me. Yes, order Atomica, first of all.
Tell your store owner to order Atomica.
Yes, yes.
Tell your store owners to.
Trade and the new issue, which is
It would help tremendously if they would tell their store owners even just to give it a shot or whatever.
And what issue is
it? It'll be in April previews, and it'll be issue number 8.
And get the trades month. In there as well. Read the trade, and then jump on with issue 8.
Yep.
Mr. White.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, a friend of ours, friend of the show, Andy Parks.
Yeah.
Andy is, as most people will know, he's an inker in comics for a long, long time. But Andy's also been trying to do more writing in comics. Mm-hmm. He's written a couple of graphic novels.
He's now concentrating
on trying to be more of a comic book writer and make a living at doing that. And in doing so, he's not doing as much inking, which means he's not making as much money, and it's... And Andy's just such a nice guy. He's always been so great to us. And I think Andy was Andy our first guest that we've ever had on the show?
No, Phil was.
Phil
actually
was our first guest.
His partner in crime. But Andy was... Andy left us an iTunes review.
Yeah.
And
Andy's been a longtime friend of the show and everything. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to ask people as a personal favor to us and the show to go out and either buy Union Station.
Oh,
Andy's first graphic novel that he wrote, or Capote in Kansas, his second one with Chris Somney on art duty is on that, to maybe make it a little easier on him to try
and write.
I think Andy's a really good writer. I would love for him
to write more. And I tell you what, buying either one of those books, that is not a charity case at all.
They're
both fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm both just going to, I just want to ask people to do that so maybe Andy can have a little extra cash and write more, because I'd like to see him write more personally. So that's it. That was it.
And I know that he had, you know, a couple hundred bucks less than normal because Hester won the Fantasy Football League this year. So Andy had gotten used to that extra $100 or so, and Phil spanked him on it this year. So, but
degenerate gamblers, goddammit. All of them.
I don't know what that is. Those are American.
And Chris Somney is one of my favorite artists. So Capote in Kansas was our first exposure to Chris. So that's one of my favorite graphic novels.
It's one I own both of them. So, but yeah, I just thought I'd throw it out there. You know, if you haven't read it, go out there, buy it. It's for a good cause to have another good writer in comics. So.
You got it. Mr. Shane White.
We're now joined by Shane White, all the way from Seattle, came in
just to see you
just
guys.
Just to visit us, man.
That's how lonely I am.
The city of hobos.
Sal, Shane.
A lot of hobos downtown.
Yeah.
Good. You guys meet each other tonight, and then you can see each other again a week or so.
I'll be at Emerald Con next
week. Oh, yeah. Are you going to do the whole Morton Steakhouse thing again? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was a debacle.
Yeah, everybody put money in, and we were like $800 short.
That's exactly right. It was we had 22 people at Morton Steakhouse, and as you know, it's not a cheap joint. And $3,000 bill or something.
Guys were ordering wine like they were going down on the fucking Titanic. I'm not kidding. I was like, who are these? Did you bring whores with you? I mean, what's going on? And those assholes are like, boy, I threw in $100. I'm like, you never had $100 your whole fucking life. I didn't throw in $100. We put all the money together. Yeah. I kid you not, we were like $1,800 under.
It was sick. Yeah. I mean, there's guys who were, I think you had spotted a few people pouring wine in other people's glasses, taking wine from other people,
because they were so around, like, hard, you know, up, taking the plants home and shit, and they were like so hard up for booze. They were drinking.
And there's the guy that's like, I just had a salad. It's like, bullshit. It's like, I saw that bone-in ribeye.
And then here's the worst thing about that is you wind up sitting next to 10 assholes you don't like, you don't know.
Wait a second.
And I'm like, why did it cost me?
You were sitting next to Shane.
No. Yeah. Half the people at the party, I didn't know them, and they were not even like likable guys. They were just like some guys brought guys.
They were going outside,
fucking bringing people in, and I was like, guys, that it cost me like $400 for a steak. I had to keep throwing in money because I was with my wife. She's like, well, what are we going to do? And I'm like, well, I just want to, you know, eat and get the fuck out of here. I didn't know it was going to, like, you know.
Well, a friend of ours organized it, and he's such a good guy. I mean, he grabbed the bill and grabbed the money, and he's out there counting it, which, you know, the first thing is, like, if you grab that, it's your responsibility.
That's a tar baby.
Yeah, and it's like everybody stays in the room until this gets taken care of. And I know I've been out with him a few other times, and he gets stuck with the bill, and it's not fair. So I was that guy who ate the salad. I specifically knew this was going to turn into...
Hey, what the fuck are you doing in Morton's? You're a vegetarian, aren't you?
I'm not really vegetarian.
Oh, I
just try to eat healthy. So I had a small petite, you know, mignon, and I got a $10 head of broccoli, which I could have fed a family of four on.
Yeah.
I think a glass of wine or some shit like that, and it cost me $75.
Right.
But at the end of the night, I was $150 in the hole.
Right. And then you killed me because you do the math and you're like, according to this, everybody here gave $1,000. How is that possible? You know, what the fuck did I eat? You know, I'm like, what did I buy, the Nixon tapes? I mean, I was like, what the fuck are we doing here, guys?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I went out with my wife, and she's like, do you know all these guys? I go, I know some of them, but a lot of them are just guys that were, and like, I'm kidding you not, they were taking, like, you're going to finish that, and they were like taking your wine, and they were fucking marrying it with other wine.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
I mean, we're talking some fairly well-known comic artists who remain nameless.
Oh, yes.
Just nice. Yeah. Seattle is like Chicago. No shortage of jagoffs in Seattle. You think we got a lot of jagoffs here in Chicago? Go to Seattle. They're well represented. There's like a team photo like we got here. We got plenty. You know, I get off the plane. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I forgot all these jagoffs. They just drink more coffee. And they wear fucking flannel.
They're caffeinated.
They don't wash.
Not you, Shane. You're one of the good ones.
Yes, thanks. Well, I'm not from Seattle.
Where are you from?
Northern New York. That's
wow.
Yeah,
that's a big jump.
Yeah. Well, that's where the family lives. So yeah. I wanted to be as close as I could and tolerate them. So.
How'd you wind up in Seattle? Well, like Nirvana's first drummer or whatever.
Jesus. Did he blow up? No,
that was
the other guy.
Oh, the other guy. No, actually, what happened is I saw an advertisement on MTV for the Art Institute of Pittsburgh, and I thought, I don't want to go to a liberal arts college, and I thought, I would just want to do art, so I went to Pittsburgh. And then I bounced around, you know, Indiana, Connecticut, back to Pittsburgh, and I'm like, I hate the East Coast.
We're getting farther west. Yeah, so have a long way to go.
Andy Warhol, Pittsburgh guy?
Yeah, actually.
You know, in the art scene. Yeah, no, yeah. He was... You know, they got a big Andy Warhol museum.
I used to actually work for an interior decorator delivering shit. I was delivering his brother's paintings to, like, corporate offices. Really pretty demeaning to see chicken legs, you know, on canvas. And this guy's getting 10 grand. And I'm
urine, too, for a while he was pissing on canvas.
Yeah.
You know.
Lovely.
Yeah, no, it was, like, great. They were paying big money for it.
Yeah, I got tired of the East Coast. It's the way in that area, the money... You would earn as an artist was ridiculous. They didn't respect it as much. It didn't seem at the time. This is early 90s. So
painting or commercial art?
Just any. Commercial art mostly. Okay. Yeah, I was working in games, and it was video games was really.
Yeah, the early days, there was no money at all.
No.
Now, you know, if you're getting the right gig at a gaming companies, you know.
Yeah, it can pay really well. But I had a demo reel, and I took it up and down the West Coast, and I thought, hey, maybe I'll get a thing in film. You know, I wanted to check out, see if there was any creative jobs in film, and there really isn't.
Yeah.
ILM, surprisingly, ILM was one of the more creative places, and they were interested in my stuff. And they said, well, we're going to be hiring for the next set of Star Wars films, so why don't you come back in autumn? And I'm not a Star Wars guy.
You're a Star Trek guy.
Yeah. Not really.
Oh. Porno?
I like porno.
Okay,
yeah.
See,
I can
I'll
go
take
for
porn
that.
Over, I'll take
our director of porn.
I'll take Nicky Knockers over Boba Fett. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Can probably make about the same amount of money. Quite
Tiffany Towers.
No, I think. She's got the edge. Annie Mall makes more than Carrie Fisher. She really does.
Annie Mall.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
You know, Craven Moorhead.
Craven.
Definitely got Skywalker beat. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But no, it's I'm more of like Terry Gilliam, man. I was just Brazil Time Bandits. Yeah. I was just
Did they give you a ballpark of what they wanted to pay you? Because I did because I went to film school at USC, and after I got out of there, I got jobs at Warner Brothers and Disney, and I couldn't eat.
People
go, wow, you got a job at Disney. They're literally paying you $4 an hour.
Everybody
I'm not bullshitting.
Wants to work
no,
there,
I'm not
yeah.
kidding. Yeah. And people go, oh, my God, that's so, you know, you could have worked your way up. Yeah, in 20 years, I would have been making 20 grand a year. And I could not, and I had a roommate, and I was living on Top Ramen anyway. I couldn't fucking live off of what they offered. I said, guys, I'm sorry. I can make more fucking working at McDonald's than, you know.
Yeah. And you get benefits. Too,
if you're a rich guy, if you got money stocked away, you come from a wealthy family, you take a gig like that to maybe get your feet wet. But I was like, I got loans and shit. I got, you know, student loans, you know.
Yeah, the art director who, remember that Star Trek film that had the Borg in it?
Yeah, yeah.
The art director for that actually came from the Art Institute, and he studied, he lucked into it. He was a very talented guy, but he ended up working with Sid Mead for a year or some shit like that, and then ended up at ILM. And he still had like two or three roommates.
Yeah.
Because he just couldn't afford living.
George is notoriously cheap that way.
Cheap, and San Francisco is expensive, so it just doesn't work together. Yeah. And I thought, you know, it's
Star Wars is not really what I wanted to do, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to go look elsewhere. And then there was a company down in Venice Beach called Blur Studios, and they've done some stuff, and they're doing really well, you know. But I ended up just up in Seattle, you know, somehow. It was a game job. It was like only out of 33 demo tapes, they're the only ones who were like, yeah, we'll take you on, you know. It's like, fine, right. Just get me out of here. Yeah.
When did you go? Because for a while, I remember when I was in L.A., Seattle was like the best kept secret. People from L.A. were like, fuck this. Because L.A. is the rectum of the world. Trust me. It is. It is just, you fucking died and you can't believe it. There's nothing there but highways and El Pollo Loco. That's all you got in fucking L.A.
And assholes.
People
just
were running to Seattle because they're like, it's beautiful, you know, city, and you can live, can have a decent place to live. And I was there during those fucking Watts riots, so I was like, I'm ready to get the fuck out of here. They were lighting anybody white on fire, and I'm like, I'm leaving, you know, fuck this. I didn't have anything to do with Rodney King, and I was like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. But it was just one of those deals where I knew a lot of guys in the film business were like, Seattle, sure. Going up north.
I don't know what they're doing up there because there's not a lot of gigs. I mean, there's a lot of technology, a lot of young people. When I was moving there, I moved there in 98.
Okay.
So it.
Well, with the Valley, right? Silicon Valley, didn't there a lot of that tied in those days?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, Microsoft has its own zip code practically. Right. So it's a really big thing. And you know, even Boeing, before Xbox. And Boeing is, you know, the blue collar backbone of that area.
Right. Yeah, then we stole them. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, we just have
the high paying jobs.
Secretaries.
We have the high paying jobs.
They send the secretaries here, and all the guys that make money are still in Washington.
And then Bungie left Chicago to go to, you know, Seattle.
Yeah,
that's right. You know, Andy Kadelka was running around here. He's worked for EA Chicago and Midway. So,
yeah.
I mean,
well, my buddy over there used to work for Midway, too.
Well, he probably knows Andrew then. I would imagine he was running around here. So, I mean, there's been video games here in Chicago for quite a while. It seems to have kind of backed off a little bit.
Why has it always become a competition of cities with you?
No, I'm just saying.
You're not even fucking from here.
As long as it's the U.S., I don't give a shit. As long as it's all in the U.S., we're all sister cities.
About Seattle, this last year when we went to Emerald City, was the first time I'd ever been there. And it's the first, other than Austin, Texas, it's the first city I ever went to that went, yeah, I could live here. I could move here tomorrow and live here. I loved it. I absolutely loved that city. And yeah, it's one of the few cities that I've been to that I would never fucking live in New York if you paid me $1 billion.
Is it like New York and L.A. in the way that you got to have money to live there? I mean, can you live on a decent salary?
Dude,
there?
I was doing freelance for the past 3 years, and No, I wasn't making much money. There was times it was.
I mean, how about if you want to live in Seattle? Like, is it
In Seattle? The thing about Seattle is it's not super spread out like Chicago.
Right.
We have our neighborhoods, which are, you know, we got Fremont, we got Ballard. They're all these really inclusive neighborhoods, which are really cool. I'm 6 minutes from downtown.
Okay.
You know, and I'm outside of the main city. Yeah. You can, you know, find a place. You know, the rent can be expensive. You know, a little. Yeah, it's $800 maybe, $800, depending on where you go and what you're willing to put up with.
Sure.
But no, you don't have to live out in the sticks, you know, to survive there. It's just, I think Portland is really where it's at. The comic community in Portland is sick. It's just, I don't know if you know, like Periscope Studios and, you know, Kieran Dwyer and Rick Remender and a lot of those guys down there. There's just
Portland's blowing up.
Yeah. They're like Seattle 10 years ago.
Well, that's Dark Horses in Portland.
I know Mike Oliver lives in Portland. Sure. He used to live in Portland.
Oni. Yeah.
Oni's in there.
Oni's in Portland. Yeah, and it's you've got, Rucka is there, and Rucka. Remender and Dwyer.
Always Rucka.
And it always comes back.
Bendis?
Steve Rolston is there.
Yeah, Steve Lieber, the guy that did Whiteout.
Maybe it's Lieber. I was thinking Rolston. Lieber's there. Yeah, it's a booming comics town there. Yeah. So
it's cool really cool, you know, but it's sad too. I mean, you know, Brubaker's up in Seattle and Jay Ferber and Lyman was there for a while. But yeah, the comics community isn't as tight knit up in Seattle for some reason. They all kind of off on their own.
I met most of those assholes from San Diego. You know, yeah. Everybody would, in the day, it was like, there was like 40 of us staying in a fucking room.
Yeah.
Sleeping on the, and everybody knew everybody because nobody had any money. And it was like, they had the guys from Seattle, the guys from New York, the guys from Chicago. And we were all trying to get into comics. Everybody was, you know.
Yeah. One person would get the room. Everyone would bring towels and sleep on the floor.
Those
were the good stinky days.
Yeah. You had the tea bag effect going on. We used to affectionately call it, you know, when you went in the bathroom in the morning to take a shower, you were like the ninth guy in. Okay. Yeah. So everybody would just leave the shit stained underwear on the floor of the bathroom, and then as the water, I called it the tea bag, and then as the fucking water would get 3 inches deep on the floor, the water would consume the underwear, and it was like a tea bag. It was a brown fucking puddle around each pair of underwear. So when you walked in there, it was like a minefield. And if you got in late, you literally had to wipe your ass with like a hand towel.
Who had the shittiest underwear?
A guy, JC from Ohio. From Toledo, Ohio. Tim Bradstreet also left the fucking arm in the toilet, which they still haven't got out of there. If you open up the toilet, I kid you not, there's a fucking arm in there, a brown arm with corn in it, and it just looks like a fucking piano keys are sitting in the toilet. And I said, Tim, they are going to have to just fucking take this whole room and just burn it at this point. The tile was coming off the fucking wall, and it turned into a Stanley Kubrick movie real fast, where there's no sound, and there's little kids in the hallway, and there's blood coming out of the fucking elevator. And I said, why do I get stuck with these Jaguars? Because I had no money, you know. And Dev was around in those days.
Oh, yeah, Dev,
and Jeff and all those fucking
Everyone trying to get in.
Everybody was, but you see, it was nice because we were all equal level Jaguars. Nobody could play, you know, I'm a big shot. Everybody was fucked up.
It's a camaraderie that seems to sort of fallen by the wayside. Everyone's kind of got their thing going. It's just like, well, everyone doesn't want to be involved, or you know, they're kind of, it's like they don't want to commit to anybody by just having a conversation. It's like, oh, I don't want to talk shop.
Well, you know what? The problem is you get people's lives get complicated. People get married, they have kids, people move along. I used to see these guys every year, and I'm like, San Diego used to be, you know, a big beat off session. Now it's like you go there and it's like a fucking airport and you can't find anybody anymore.
That's right.
You try to have drinks with people like this guy, and it's like this guy, you know, stays at the pool all day. And for a lot of guys that go to San Diego, you're either looking for gigs or you're trying to pimp what you already got.
Which is looking for a deal.
Two things you shouldn't be doing in San Diego. Yeah. It's
speaking of, what are you working on?
Ooh. That was a segue.
It's more important. It's more important. If I run my mouth, we'll never get out of here. So we'd much rather hear
We got time for both.
People would rather hear about Seattle.
What am I doing in Seattle?
Not right now.
I know you always got something going on. If you're working on anything,
First of all, some of the comics work that we're familiar with that you've done is The Overman, which as far as you know is as this comes out now available in trade paperback.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So go buy The Overman.
April 4th or something like that.
Yeah, which from the beginning reading that in single issues, I was like, this is going to work great as a trade.
Yeah, I think it's one of those weird things. It's we listen to people because you know people have been in the business for a while, so you take you know their advice. And it was originally a graphic novel, and it's like we're unknowns. It's hard science. Who's going to really be into this stuff? And it's coming out through Image. And Image, I'm not saying they have a certain demographic that they hit, but I think it works with them. It's just a different kind of book. And to come out with a graphic novel was just, we were going to lose money. So somebody, a friend of ours, was like, you know, you should probably put it out in 5 issues so you can advertise for the trade. And I'm like, all right, but each issue is 32 pages and just packed to the gills, you know? And to expect someone to come back the following month to remember all the detail.
It was a very dense book.
It's too dense. So I think it's really gonna pull through on the trade. And I've always liked it as a single sit down and read thing, and it's very jarring. It's, I don't know if you remember what the plot was, because I don't remember it anymore. No, I know. It's it's about a guy who finds out a secret that could destroy the human race, and he works for the company who's actually causing this descent into insanity. And so he's fighting to stop the apocalyptic union of man and machine, and ends up failing. And so you kind of witness how bad he fails and really what's left.
Well, you had talked about your appreciation for Terry Gilliam earlier.
Yeah.
And this could be a Gilliam movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were hoping if we could get David Cronenberg on it to do sci-fi. I think it would be right up his alley because it's got this, you know, psychosexual nature to it. And some of the characters, are very oddball, you know, something David Lynchian and Cronenberg, and you know, it's just got a weird angle to it, but yeah, it would be very expensive, you know. It's one of those, it'll never happen.
Yeah,
but at least the trade's going to look good because the apparently the printer spec'd a heavier weight paper for it, which I'm like, oh good, oh we don't need that cost, but at least it was printed overseas, so it'll be cheaper.
China or
Hong Kong somewhere.
Yeah. You got a 6-month break in there to get it out. China usually, get it, but you got to give them the files and give them at least 4 months to get it over here.
I got them the files a little bit after Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah,
so,
you're okay. Yeah. And they do great. And everything I've seen printed over it looks great.
Yeah.
Looks tremendous.
Cool. Other than the lead, you know, in the paint. Reds.
Don't lick the pages.
So what's after Overman?
The Overman. After that is
Northland 2?
North Country?
Yeah. North Country,
no,
too,
sir. Actually, it is kind of semi-autobiographical. Ah. So it's called Things Undone, and I'm still working out the contracts with NBM Publishing. I've been doing publishing since 1976. They're some of the original graphic novel publishers back in the day. They've been importing a lot of...
really familiar, and I'm trying to think of what...
Well, let's see. They've done Boneyard.
Okay, that's yeah.
They do a lot of Amerorotica stuff.
Okay,
and they've done.
So are these the sexual exploits of Shane White?
No,
is that what you're doing? Erotica stuff now?
No,
autobiographical erotica.
No, not yet.
Okay,
that's on the list, but it's
not yet. It's
coffee enemas in Seattle. Things like that. No, because that was my idea for Starbucks. How they could turn it around was have glory holes in the Starbucks with the mochas. Mocha and a glory hole on your way to work.
Flavored enemas?
Yeah. No. Well, I was thinking more of these.
You're an entrepreneur. Hole. That's what you are.
No, so. I just try to throw these ideas out and throw it in the stoop. See if the cat licks it up. See what happens, you know. I think Starbucks, come on. What, you know, who doesn't like a glory
Dunkin'
hole
Donuts
in the morning?
Kicking their ass,
you
know, right? Yeah.
Dunkin' Donuts glory hole.
Dunkin' Donuts is...
Never know what's going on.
It's too many hillbillies at Dunkin' Donuts. I like Dunkin' Donuts. I just too many hillbillies.
Well, Seattle doesn't have any Dunkin' Donuts.
I'm always in line behind two guys that are pissed.
You don't have Dunkin' Donuts?
Have, I think we have three or four donut shops in the whole city. One's Krispy Kreme. Two are a Top Pot Donut. If you ever go to Seattle, Top Pot Donuts are the best. And there's one like Winchell's or something. And... there might be another one, Western Co. Donut Company. It was weird. But, nobody eats donuts there. It's everyone's, like, super
healthy.
You can't
trip down the street without running into a donut
it's
store right here.
It's like Starbucks.
They got fucking soup kitchens under every overpass in Seattle. All these liberal fucks are handing out soup to everybody. I mean, it's like, guys, there's a pot. It looks like one of those Jerry Lewis, Dean Martin movies when they're in the fucking army, and the pot is, like, big enough to, like, cook people in and Gilligan's Island with the fucking
that's it.
With the natives, and they're handing out soup to these guys, and these guys are dressed nice. They're not like destitute fucks.
And they're healthy.
These are these mountain fucks. So I'm trying to catch Sasquatch paparazzis that are just coming down for lunch, and then they don't want to go to work, and they're nagging for beer money.
Or yeah. Oh God, yeah. That's really true.
Yeah. Like, I can't.
You walk out of the hotel and they come. They're like, it's like the night of the Living Dead. They start walking towards you, and you're like, hey, and they're like, hey, man, and you go, hey, and they're like, can you use some beer money? And you're like, yeah, and you're looking around, going, you contribute to any wars, you know?
Do I look like an ATN?
No, I'm like, how about fucking going and washing some windows? Grab a squeegee or something and get yourself a can of Schlitz. Leave me the fuck alone. You know, I came to Seattle.
So antisocial, maybe they're just trying to make friends. No. Hey, I'm, you want to get
saying,
a beer?
No, no. Maybe that's what they're saying. Up. Wanna, oh, there's nothing wrong with these fucks. I'm a little jealous that they sit around and drink beer all day, you know, while I'm sitting around and selling art and drawing Jagoffs till 6 in the morning. But, you know, I go to Seattle, I don't want to be fucked with. I could get that here, you know?
You know, the funny thing is, they only do that to tourists.
They sit around and they got the, you know, with the fucking jean jacket and the cigarette. It's right out of Central Casting. The holes in the knees and the mullets and the fucking, hey, man, how you doing?
Just fell off a logging truck.
Fell off a logging truck. They're like that fuckers that are on the Alaskan fishing shows. The well, yeah, they only work all like, that.
You know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They only work, you know, a little bit out of the year. And then
why should I give a fuck?
Really? So you should care for all mankind.
I'm not talking homeless. Hey, I'm talking hobos. There's a difference between homeless and hobos.
You're really looking forward to your trip to Seattle.
I
next
love
week.
Seattle. I really do. I love Seattle. I'm married, so I go anywhere. I go, hey, I'm leave me the fuck alone. I can sleep and watch porn, and no one bothers me. But you know, except it's when you walk outside in Seattle. But they got good food, nice people, and you know, except if one more person wants to go down and see that thing where they throw the fish, I'm going to fucking kill myself.
Oh, God.
Pikes or whatever.
Yeah, Pikes place.
I'm like, is there anything? But I found a couple really good bookstores by Pikes.
Only a couple. Oh, yeah. And those aren't even the good bookstores, too.
Well, I mean, we all use bookstores here in Chicago and in New York. They're all drying up.
No. Well, people got nothing better to do.
They've gone the way of the chains, Barnes & Noble and all that. We used to have some tremendous used bookstores in Chicago.
Amazing.
And New York, my God, was legendary for books. That shit's all gone now.
Yeah, people are sort of bored in Seattle. I mean, I'm not saying they're bored, but they're like very intellectual.
It rains all the time.
And it rains all the time.
Yeah, sit around and read.
Yeah, so they're either having sex or reading. Or
how are the women in Seattle, by the way, per capita? Is it like Chicago where there's more guys than women or no?
I believe there's more guys than women, but the women, the quality of the women there, and
it's good.
They're the kind of women who would go and step in their own shit and call it good. Yeah, they're.
You pull their pants down, you can plant tomatoes. They're those fucking hippie types that don't shave.
A lot, yeah, they're that.
Those fucking earthy, you know, lumberjack broads don't shave their bush. And I like the 70s retro bush, but not like to the point where
control
I
want
to get strangled in it.
Yeah, control it. Get some weed.
Where I wind up with a mustache. Yeah. I don't want that.
Yeah, you get road rash, you know, reverse.
Yes, yeah. I don't want, you know, my fingers to get jammed in
The
there.
Thing about New York is cool is like when you get... You know, when you're walking down the street, I mean, women will look at you, and you start to feel like a man again.
Yeah.
And in Seattle, it's... No.
Let me tell you something. Women,
non-committal.
Of all the fucking places
women don't
I've
look at
gone...
Me like that, Shane. They only
let me tell you
like
something.
That.
Let me tell you something. Toronto.
Is that it? Is that the Mecca?
Unfucking believable. I was in Toronto last year for the con in the fall, which has turned into a great con, because Chicago just, you know, the wizard, it just eats shit now. And it's Toronto, I'm telling you, it's 10 to 1.
No
women to guys. Wow. I am not fucking kidding. I was sitting outside. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah, but
I thought because those assholes were all playing hockey, I guess. I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
It's like Canada.
No, I am not bullshitting. Ask anybody who's in Toronto, especially not when in the winter, because their winters are worse than Chicago winters.
I figured it would kind of be like going to Green Bay North.
No,
though.
That's what I thought. Well, I thought it was the same shit as Chicago. No. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going on in Toronto.
Well, the cold weather, you know, lowers the sperm count, so I think they're looking for potential mates.
I'm telling you, if you got a chance to go to the Toronto con and you go out on a Saturday night, man, it's like just pussy nests just open up all of a sudden like you hit a
like
fucking...
Like fembots coming out
of
the underground.
Yeah, like one of those wasps on the back porch. Sure. You just hit the wrong fucking thing and they come running out chasing you, biting you on the ass.
Jesus.
You know, I was like, I got to fucking move to Toronto. You
know? Oh, my
now,
God.
Now, granted, the weather's fucked up.
Oh,
it's like, you know, Ice Station Zebra when you go to fucking Toronto.
That's true.
It is fucking, it's cold like The Exorcist when you go outside where your balls just run up your ass the minute you
see
step outside.
All the pictures I ever see of Toronto or movies that are filmed there, it always looks really nice. I'm like, I know it's got to be
that's one month out of the year. It's they can only do like two films.
July.
Yeah, and they come, but when I'm telling you, there's like all these women, you know, young women coming out and they're clubbing and, you know, Chicago, it's just the same, you know, Jagoffs. There's 10 dicks for every girl and, you know.
Yeah, they've all.
But Seattle, I got that impression. They're all sitting in a coffee shop. Let me read my book. Leave me alone.
Yeah, yeah. You know, kind of. Everybody's offish there. They're kind of about. They're nice, about 1 inch deep. You know, they just they'll say hi. You know, they'll have a very short conversation. But man, they are so noncommittal. They won't look at you. They'll look at the ground. They'll look at anything, even if you're in their face.
Is there something to
be said?
That's
why I liked it so much. I don't want people looking at me, talking to me. Leave me the fuck alone.
Is there something to be said though with the weather because of the lack of sunlight? You know, because I know here in Chicago people get fucking stir crazy because there's no sun.
Yeah, they do. They do. And it's when the sun comes out. It's just people just I don't know. They're like. They're like flowers out there. They open
they
up
give
and they
a shit
just,
or they don't give a shit.
They love it. They get crazy about it. They're all out in the sun, half naked.
Good summers or still overcast?
Well, summers are great. No, summers are great. There might be 2 weeks in June that it gets a little gray, but the rest of the summer it doesn't rain.
Oh, okay.
In fact, it's a little drought towards the end of summer, but it's the best time. You go hiking, no bugs, no mosquitoes. Really? I mean, if you go to Cascades, you might get some mosquitoes.
So you
got to
walk, right?
If you're into the outdoors, there's a lot of outdoor activity.
Yeah,
but you know, it's a different vibe, a real different vibe, very laid back.
Are you still building that train or whatever? When I was there, there's a thing going from the airport. Yeah. I saw it. It's like looks like fucking Disneyland. It's like a monorail.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Looks
very cool.
Yeah.
We were just talking about how the contractor or subcontractor was using a lesser grade steel to hold it up. And they're like, no, it should still work.
And it should be
fine. I guess we'll find out.
You couldn't have that here. Too many Jagos. Chicago, too many Jagos. Puerto Ricans spray paint in 15 fucking minutes. Say fuck you! You look like shit.
Well, you know that's the funny thing.
Seattle, they sleep on it and ask for money. But
did you notice the graffiti in Seattle? Like any restaurant, it's not like you know suck my cock or you know for good head call this number. It's you know. Vote for Ralph Nader or something.
Really?
It's like it's fucking haiku.
Bill Gates takes it in the ass or something like
that. You know, they don't even swear. You know, it's just like I would like to have copious amounts of sex with you. You know,
it's a very educated graffiti.
Yeah, a little too educated.
But now, what's the comics? Is there a comic scene out there? Because I sent the Seattle show about 4 or 5 years ago when it was over by the ballpark.
And
it was nice, but now I notice every year it's been progressively the list is getting bigger and bigger in the show, but I've heard it's gotten bigger than when I did it.
Well, a lot of people are coming up from Portland and Vancouver. I mean, we have a pretty good comic scene. There's a lot of great shops in town. My shop in Ballard is Arcane, and they're just a great little store in this little area, and it's just they have such an eclectic mix of books, but then you know the bigger show stores are like Xanadu, which is very big, and they've got two locations. But
because we're right in downtown, I don't know how close any of that is from where I'm at. You know,
there's one that's not too far. It's a walk. You can do. Here's the biggest piece of advice: is you can walk down to the sound front. Do not fucking walk back.
Because
when I say walk down,
no, we found a couple of really nice bars. You know, there's that one street right before you go down to the water.
Oh yeah,
and there's a lot of bar like outdoor outdoor bar, and we got hammered out there. And they're like, let's go down to the water. I go, guys, I ain't fucking down. I'll never get back up.
That's right.
I'll never get back up.
Sal Avenatti on the internet. where can people find your
MercuryComics.com.
MercuryComics.com. Yeah. Shane White.
Yes.
Where can people find out more about your work on the web?
ShaneWhite.com.
ShaneWhite.com.
And I have a new book coming out probably this fall called Things Undone.
Things Undone.
That I didn't get to, you know, pimp.
Yeah, you did.
A little bit.
We talked about it.
Okay. That's fine.
Well, you didn't say it was.
When is the trade coming out?
The trade for the Overman is coming out next week, but
actually this week.
Overman will be out April 4th.
April 4th, and then Things Undone should be out by fall, autumn.
And that's an autobiography. Do you know when
it's going to
be soliciting? You know when it's going to be in Diamond?
I don't know. I'm still getting things worked out, so I'm hoping.
Is it going to be out maybe before September 19th?
I hope so.
Wow.
Will people be able to maybe get it at the Windy City Comic Con?
If it comes out, yes. Would venture to look into that. Yeah,
are you going
to
be at Emerald next week, or did I offend you?
Yeah, no, I'll be at Emerald.
Yeah, okay, no, because see, you know, the prince over here didn't like what I said, so I thought maybe he's mad at me.
I live there. I gotta be.
Well,
there.
Not everybody. I know somebody. A lot of the Seattle guys are like, I don't have time. I didn't make it down. I'm too important.
Yeah, probably more like
I'm working.
So, yeah, are you guys? You guys aren't going to be at the show at Emerald City?
No, no. Not this year. Hopefully next year.
Okay.
We're doing our own show this year. So
Well, that makes sense.
Kind of make you know.
We'll I don't do anything.
But Sal's going to be back at Windy City show this year.
Cool.
So
now he's not coming.
No, well, maybe maybe I'll come back. Yeah, we'll see.
Bring some of those earthy chicks with you.
Really?
Yeah.
The green piece.
Well, we'll hold them down and shave them.
That could be
electric, not straight. Don't get upset. I didn't say anything about straight. Electric razor, you know, no stubble. We'll use a little water, keep things moving forward. All I know is, trust me, those are the art school chicks, the earthy chicks that don't shave the pits, and, you know, trust me, it's like they got fucking, you know, Jimmy Walker in a fucking leg lock when they pull their pants down, because it's just bush. It's just big.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Fucking the winter bush. They look like Black Caesar down there. It's fucked up. You need a pick, you know, the pick with the fist on it, you know? You need to go through that. You comb it out in a fucking little chipmunk. The chipmunk from Caddyshack jumps out and waves at you when you fucking go down there.
That's a flavor saver. Oh,
yeah. I'm sorry.
All right.
I'll shut up. I'm in enough fucking trouble. Right now the FCC's going, how can we fuck with podcasts? We haven't figured that out.
We got to get control of
this. These four jagoffs, we just got to, you know, especially that big mouth Italian guy, you know, is like...
I would like to thank everyone for leaving iTunes reviews. We had a rush of them in the last couple weeks. Thank you so much. You guys are great. I want to thank, let me get on to the right page here with this week, not last week. And I would like to thank, oh, holy shit, where is it?
All the Greek coffee shops.
There it
love
is.
The Greek
love the Greek coffee shops.
Robert Johnson 7, podcastrant.com. Gator Loan the Beats. F you for whatever you wrote on that.
What?
No, not what he wrote in the review, but the name is like this combination of letters and numbers. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, how am I going to say this? But no, thank you for the review. It was very nice. But
fuck you for your name.
Yeah, your name is fucked up. Ziggy 1960.
The language.
Handle like eggs. Apoptosis 81.
Handle like eggs did our 300th review.
Yes, thank you, Handle like eggs. And Brace.
How did it get you on iTunes now? You go to iTunes, you go into podcast section, and type. Oh, okay.
You
very
just
cool.
Go to iTunes, the iTunes Music Store. Just type in comic books, and we're usually number one, number two, or number three. We flip back and forth with the CGS guys and iFanboy.
Oh, okay.
So we're always
the guys with the mouse shit.
The what?
Oh.
Yeah, the most
talking shit about the iFanboy. I don't know these guys.
As always, you can drop by. You can continue the conversation at
they don't
around
shit
comics.
About comics. But they're good guys.
But they're good guys.
No, yeah, their taste in comics are horrible.
Yeah.
They're good guys. But they're sensitive.
They're good guys.
I heard they're sensitive.
I like hanging out with them.
Yeah,
really. Richards, that pick of the week.
Oh,
are you seriously?
Where do they live?
They're
not Europeans.
San Francisco and New York.
Good town.
They're bicoastal.
Oh, okay.
Bi-coastal.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a relative term in San Francisco. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Drop by the forum at aroundcomics.com. Remember the Windy City Comic Con. Check that out, windycitycomiccon.com. Check out Tom versus the Flash 3 times a week. I'm on 11 o'clock comics on Fridays.
I don't do shit.
You know, yeah. Well, you're animating now. You're learning a marketable skill.
Really? No.
What are you animating in?
Flash.
That's what I'm doing too.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to teach myself how to kind of play with it.
Yeah, I'm having to do that too.
I got some great PDFs if you're interested. And
we
like
can take it
some
offline
CDs
and check it out
on classrooms and a book and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, some pretty interesting
Yeah, he's been.
I'm just having fun with him.
Yeah, when Sal,
I'm trying to do some Around Comics little like outtake short things.
Oh, nice.
So I've been like crafting Chris as a cartoon for the last week, just trying to
right on.
Capture his
uniqueness.
Yes.
You know, I may be dead by the time this
you
airs.
Could be.
So this
yeah,
could...
you might be not. We know, it's been nice knowing you, buddy. It's been a good 3-year run. Don't worry about it.
Don't
we'll find.
Don't
Sal's going to take your. Sal's going to take your spot.
Yeah. You,
so.
Oh yeah, they love me. After this week, they're going to. The letters are going to be pouring in. You know, like
get that asshole. Kill myself till Sal comes back.
Well, I tell you what. Track down the. So actually, this will be after the Emerald City Comic Con. So this will come out. The actually will it? Yeah, it will be right after.
Yeah. It'll be right after.
Be right after the Emerald City Comic Con. So, did I say Windy City?
No, you said Emerald City.
Emerald City. All right. Too many.
How did
to
it get that name anyway?
Emerald City.
Yeah. Well, it's
green.
Well, I know the Wizard of Oz shit, but I'm saying, how did Seattle make that?
It's green. Everything's
well,
green.
Yeah, everything's pretty green. You know, because it gets so much rain. It's the biosphere. Okay. Is pretty much a rainforest sort of.
I'd never seen.
They also
trees.
Call it Jet
City. Cool name
too.
Though. Actually, for say it's very cool. You know,
I've never seen trees that big. Big freaking trees.
And you haven't even been hiking or
no.
On the trail.
Yeah,
oh, God, they're monsters.
Yeah.
Monsters.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Just like, yeah. And it was Jet City because
Sequoias?
Boeing.
Is it
yeah.
The Sequoias, right? The ones that are like, you know,
they're actually
going to drive a car through?
I think a lot. Oh, yeah, those are the Sequoias. But these are like just cedar, Douglas fir, you know, the old growth stuff.
Yeah.
There's none of it. There's really not much of that.
All around. I know about Seattle is from Singles.
All right, everyone. Have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend.
My license
hopefully
expired.
I'm not, hopefully,
I gotta edit this fucking goddamn mess of an episode. Yeah.
And hopefully I'm not dead in a ditch in Mexico as this
hopefully.
Comes out. We'll be back again, hopefully, next Monday.
Well, we'll be back.
Yeah, you'll
you
be back.
Not.
I may not
I'll
be
in witness protection after this.
With another full-length episode. In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in...
And around! Tell your balls in the car door.
Thanks, guys. I had to sit through that fucking thing for 2 hours of my life. And I'm going, what happened to fucking me?
Not every movie is an action fucking movie.
It was like when,
I liked it. I didn't think it was best picture. I agree
come on,
with that.
It was
I
like when
was
ordinary
good,
people
but...
beat Raging Bull for best picture. It was more Hollywood
yeah, that's
bullshit. Who in the next 20 years is going to remember Ordinary People versus Raging Bull? Come on.
Jesus. Well, that's really what's the test, you know. It's the stuff that holds up over time.
Right.
People oh, ordinary people.
Ordinary people's kind of help.
Again, check it. Instead of like the deck of cards, they're sending us to early grace for all the diamonds. They'll use a pair of clubs to beat the spades. With poetry, I paint the pictures that hit more like the murals that fit. Don't turn away, get in front of it.
Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009.